Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the MM Podcast. On a wonderful hot day, I'm still sweating from walking up the five floors to what I call my studio or the abandoned cafeteria of the Buffalo News, but I'm very happy with my guests today. I know I say they're all special, but she's super special. She's my former boss, my favorite boss I've ever had, Lisa Wilson.
Wow, thank you. That's quite a compliment. You're off to a great start here on this podcast.
I know, and you know I mean it because you're no longer my boss, and I don't have to say nice things to you if I don't mean them.
Right. Absolutely. You can say what's ever on your mind now because there's nothing I can do.
I really had no complaints with you.
Well, I appreciate that.
How are you?
I'm doing great, doing great. Back in Buffalo about a year now. I left the Buffalo News, as you know, in February of 2017 to take a job with ESPN's The Undefeated that was based in Washington, D.C. So I was living in Alexandria, Virginia for 17 months, and then I was offered the job at The Athletic, and you were able to work remotely, so I moved back home to my hometown in Buffalo, and it's awesome to be back.
Is it?
It is. It is. Now, I know
people say that about Buffalo, like, oh, it's so nice. But I guess you do get used to it.
Have you ever lived anywhere else?
Yes, I've lived in many places. As a young person, when I was young. Well, I'm not super old, but you know what I mean. When you graduate college, you should move and see other places. It does make you appreciate Buffalo.
Yeah.
I've lived in San Francisco, or outside of San Francisco. San Francisco is way too expensive. But I lived in Oakland. I lived briefly in Chicago and San Diego.
Okay, well, see, I'm from Buffalo. I went to high school in Buffalo. I went to college in Buffalo. I got my first job in Niagara Falls, and then I got the job at the Buffalo News. So Buffalo is the only place I ever lived until I took the job at The Undefeated. So that's 47 years. I'll date myself. I don't care. 47 years of only living in Buffalo.
Still young.
And I think you take Buffalo for granted when you're here. And then when I was gone, I really missed home. And D.C. was fun, don't get me wrong, a fun city, but I miss the ease of getting around Buffalo. You know, when they say you can get anywhere you want to go in Buffalo in 20 minutes, I always told people that. Like, if I was home, I could get here in 15 minutes, you know, but it would take an hour to get somewhere in D.C.
Well, that is a selling point, actually. That should be a tourist. Well, and you know, it used to be in Buffalo if people did. If it's like, oh, 25 minutes? Nah, I'm not going to do it.
Right, exactly.
In California, when you live in, even in Oakland, when you go over the bridge, it's like 2 hours just to get over the bridge sometimes.
Yeah, and you don't know what traffic is
even,
either until you live outside of Buffalo.
Going to Berkeley at 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm like, who are these people? Why is there still
traffic at 2 a.m.?
Do they live on this? Well, they don't call them throughway. They call them
the freeway.
The freeway, I guess, because they're all free there.
Yeah, right.
It's weird. Or even in Chicago, one time I had a job driving, and it was only like 10 miles away, and it took me an hour one way. And I was like, no, that's like, and now as a comedian, I'm considering, you know, moving to New York City, and I'm like, I don't know. I'm so used. I was like, can I even handle it? I mean, I know I'll be taking the subway, but I'm like, Buffalo is, when you go to the right time, in the movies, there's no one there. You have everything to yourself.
Exactly.
And just even getting somewhere, you don't have to deal with crowds, and you can get in a line and order what you want. I'm like, it's like cultural shock.
It is.
It's like releasing a 30-year-old lion back into the wild. They can't handle it. I don't know if I would even be able to handle that.
Yeah, and you know, I didn't sell my house. I kept it. You know, I just kind of held on to it for a little bit, and so I ended up moving right back to the same house I've been in. So now I've been in a house for 20 years because I bought it in 99. But so when I would come back, you know, I'd come back to visit family. Maybe once a month I'd come back. And when I came back, I remember Alyssa stayed here. When I left, she finished fourth grade. I let her finish the school year out, so she stayed here. So she was in dance class. And I remember I came back for the weekend of her dance recital. We had to get her a different kind of jazz shoe to wear. And I remember I had to run down to the store in Orchard Park and get it with maybe a half hour before they closed, and I got right down there and got it. And I was thinking, in D.C., there's no way I would have been able to do this. So, you know, the more I was back here, I really, really appreciated it and missed it. And, you know, it is good to be back. So, yes, that is true. When I say that, I mean it.
There is good food. Obviously, all your family's here.
Yes.
And your friends. A lot of your friends.
And there is, you know, the pizza. Like, people always told me, you can't get good pizza out of Buffalo. Yeah. And I used to think, how hard is it to make pizza? Well, now I know.
Well, yeah, D.C.'s not no
yeah,
good
when
pizza
I was
shop?
Eating, nah, it's not like the Bob and John's or the Mom. You know, the Lenovo's are your, like, mom-and-pop kind of stores. It's all, you know, Papa
Little
John's
Caesar.
And
yeah.
things like that. Yeah, that's the pizza I was eating. Yeah. There was some place called Lido's that was pretty good, Lido's Pizza, but it was probably about the closest thing to Buffalo that I found while I was down there. But, you know, just, you know, look around here. I got Leonardi's, Lenova, Soma, Bocce's all in my area where I can get all the great pizza. And so now I finally got what people mean. That's the first thing when they came back. I want pizza. I want pizza. Now, wings, I see. I could get wings, I got. Right. But pizza, I didn't understand, but now I understand, yeah. Oh. The pizza and wings, now I know why people want that as soon as they come back or they get Lenova shipped to Washington State or wherever they might live.
Oh, you can ignite a 20-minute conversation with a stranger over who, what pizza they like best.
You can.
And a debate if you have an opinion. And it'll be a friendly, you know, they'll tell you where they go, where to go.
Right, exactly.
Well, and they have a lot of stupid roundabouts in D.C. too, driving. Did you drive around there?
You know, I did somewhat, but here's the thing. I couldn't drive to work because I had to pick Alyssa up from aftercare. That was in Alexandria. So the one day I tried to drive out of D.C., I left at 5 o'clock. I had to pick her up by 6:30. Right? So I figured that would be enough time.
Right.
Hour and a half, right? It seemed like even on the worst traffic, you could get over the bridge in an hour and a half. I didn't get there till 6:45. You should have seen the aftercare workers looking at me from the side. I'd like, sorry, I'm so sorry. I'm not from here. I'm from Buffalo. I left at 5. I didn't realize it would take this long. It was just nonstop traffic. I went through Old Town Alexandria trying to get there, thinking it'd be quicker. It was just crawling. And I was like, wow, I'll never do this again. So then I started parking and riding, taking the Metro in, which I hadn't really done since high school, you know, so I got used to it, but it was like I said, I just miss getting in my car and going, and so now that's what I can do.
It is, again, I mean, Buffalo's kind of on the grow, so traffic has grown a little bit, which I don't care for.
But there's no, this is not traffic.
Even rush hour traffic is 4 o'clock. You're still actually moving.
Yeah, it's exactly. You're just crawling. You're not just sitting there.
Add 20 minutes to where you're going at 4 o'clock, usually on the south, the one.
Right.
But, well, let's back up first. I first met you at the news when I started here at the Buffalo News.
Yes.
And you were a copy editor. Well, what did you start as before I was here?
So I started at the Buffalo News in 1998.
From grad, just your first job, basically?
No, so my first job after graduating from college, I graduated from Canisius in 91. My first job was actually out of the business. I was working at TJ Maxx part-time college, and I didn't have a full-time job, so they offered me full-time. It just happened when I was graduating, a full-time job in their cash office opened up, and they said, look, we know you're trying to get into journalism, but you know, until you get a job, you're free to take this full-time job. We'd love to have you. So I took that, did that for about a year. And then out of the blue, one of my professors from Canisius, Barry Berlin, called me. I remember I was like a Thursday. I was home. I was living with my mom at the time. And he called me and he's like, hey, Lisa, this is Barry Berlin. I'm like, oh, hey, how are you? You know, I was kind of surprised to hear from him. And he said, are you still interested in journalism? And I said, yes, I am. So he told me that there was an internship available at the Utica Observer-Dispatch. So that would have meant moving to Utica. And I'm like, okay, that's what you have to do, right? Especially in that day and age. You know, you had to like kind of go somewhere small and start if you wanted to come back and work at the news or get in one of the larger outlets.
Right, because that's actually 20, which doesn't sound like a long time, but if in the newspaper industry, a lot has changed.
Oh, a lot has changed, yeah. Like, I didn't even have to deal with the internet when I first got into this business. So, yeah, look at me continuing to date myself, but I'm okay. No shame in my game. So I went and I applied and interviewed in Utica. I didn't get it, but that was a Gannett paper at the time, and so was the Niagara Gazette. So they said, okay, we don't have anything for you in Utica, but at our paper in Niagara Falls, we can offer you a 3-month paid internship. And it wasn't in sports, which was obviously my first love. It was covering town government. So I had a choice to make. Do I give up a full-time job and take a job in the field I want to be in, but no guarantee past 3 months? So I said, you know, okay, I'm going to bet on myself. It's kind of what I've always done, and it's kind of worked out for me. So I took that job in Niagara Falls, and within that 3 months, an opening in the sports department happened, and then they asked me that I want to move over to sports, and I did. So I was there for 6 years, and I did a number of things there. You know, I was a reporter, I was a features editor, and then I was a sports editor. When our sports editor got a job in Las Vegas, and he's actually still there, Melvin Valkenburg, still there this day working at the Review Journal. So I took that job, and then that's when I got a call from Howard Smith, who was a sports editor here for many, many years, about...
And also often quoted by the old people. Still
under
Howard. Right. A classic newsman. I mean, I didn't know Howard because I wasn't really...
But you feel like you know him because you've heard so many stories.
Yeah, it's kind of like a Yogi Berra's when people still say things that Howard said, which are classic.
Definitely classic. So he asked me if I wanted to... apply for, they had a job on the night desk, someone was moving out of sports. So again, I had to make a choice. Okay, I'm a sports editor at this paper. or I can come to the larger paper and start over as a copy editor. But to me, it seemed like a no-brainer, right? You can get at the Buffalo News, you got to do it, right? So I tried out the news, got the job, and this was 98 when I started here. So I started here as a copy editor, and because I was doing layout in Niagara Falls, it didn't take me long to become a layout editor as well. And I kind of moved up from there. I was a copy editor, layout editor. Then a few years later, I became the permanent Sunday editor. Steve Jones, who was the boss before I was here, used to do the Saturday night layout. So he was the Sunday editor, and they were moving him off into more daytime work. So they asked me, did I want to take over as Sunday editor? So I did that, moved up to assistant sports editor, and then executive sports editor when Steve Jones, as I just mentioned, took a buyout. That was 2011.
Right. And you did the right thing. What you should do is when you're starting out is you just said yes to everything.
Yes.
You want to work the night? You want to work the grave shift? Yes.
Yeah,
yes, I do.
You have to,
even
yeah.
if you really don't want to.
Right, yeah, because you have to be flexible in this business because it might not be exactly what you want when you start. But, you know, if you do a good job, people notice you and eventually you get other opportunities. And a lot of times that opportunity is something that you really wanted to do.
Right, and you bet on yourself.
I did.
You had faith in yourself.
Yep.
Because you do have, before anybody else has to, you have to.
Absolutely.
No, and then you worked yourself. And like I said, it's kind of shocking to, well, you know what I mean. Like when did you become executive sports editor?
So that was April 2011.
2011, which is only six, what is it? I can't do math.
So eight years ago.
8 years ago, but mm-hmm. still, you were the first black woman of a major sports section in the country.
Yeah, and at the time, yeah, I was serving as the only one, which was pretty incredible, right?
Well, yeah, if you look back as a you know, I would be like, oh, well, I'm sure there has to be someone else, but no. So, but that's great.
I first heard that, I was stunned. You know, I didn't know of any, so I wasn't certain, but when the story started coming up and people wanted to interview me when I got the job, you know, I was just pretty... It was pretty stunning that, one, it's me, you know, little old me, and two, that, you know, I know there are other black women qualified to do those jobs, and people have followed me, and I'm glad that, you know, I was kind of there to kind of set the example and kind of lead the way, as you say.
Well, once you do it or someone does it, then they know it's possible.
Right,
so there's
right.
I'm sure someone else has done it. I don't know, but I would assume in the next, although, I mean, sports section.
Yeah, so it's interesting
dwindling.
That you say that because now there's... you know, I'm out of newspapers now, but there is one. Her name is Raina Cash, and she's editor of the Louisville Courier Journal. And she, you know, she kind of worked her way up. She was an editor at the Sporting News, and she was NFL editor at the Minneapolis Star Tribune, and then she just got the job in Louisville. But it's funny you mentioned those very words, because when she got the job on Twitter, I was like, congrats, Raina, this is everything. You know, they said she'd been hired. And her response to me was, because of you, I knew it was possible. And what better compliment can you get in this business, right? You know,
right.
In this, you know, listen, sometimes you think maybe it's hard to stay in this business or so much change, so much uncertainty. But, I mean, what more can you want? When you hear something like that, it makes you just want to push forward.
Yeah, I've never received a compliment like that. No, I mean, that probably made you feel really good,
but
right?
You've received plenty of compliments, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Just not like that.
Right.
Well, I'm not blazing any trails.
Yeah.
Only because I can't, as you know, as just as a white dude, it's all been done.
Right.
What am I going to do that hasn't been done?
Well, right, but you might be the first comedian slash.
I'll have my own level of success. I will inspire
here.
People to do something, I'm
right.
sure,
mm-hmm.
but not like that. That is, I mean, that probably makes you feel good, and that's.
Oh yeah.
I mean, that's what we need.
Feel great.
Need more of at this time.
Right. When they, you know, you've heard that term, representation matters. That's a perfect example of it.
It does. People like, you know, I don't know, like fellow. I don't say, you know, certain people out there do think, oh well, you know. It's okay now, like, we're doing well, but it's, like, we still need to, everyone needs to push for, you know, representation.
Absolutely.
Just even women in general in sports, because you were always interested in sports.
Right.
Or sports writing. Even
right.
At, you went to City Honors, which is a nationally recognized school.
Yeah, I did.
For excellence across the country, but it's in Buffalo. It's, like, one of the better, well, I'd say the best. Maybe number two, Hutch Tech is pretty good, but like the best, if you're going to go to a public high school,
City Honors,
it requires an entrance exam, but definitely go to City Honors because it offers a lot of different stuff, right?
Yeah,
was
definitely.
There a newspaper there?
It was. It was called The Silent Noise, as a matter of fact, yeah.
Was
I don't
that
know.
Student named?
It was, yeah. I'm not sure if it's still called that, but that's what it was back when I went to City Honors, which I actually went there for 8 years, 5th grade through 12th grade.
Oh, okay. So it's more in high school.
Okay. Oh, yeah, yeah. It starts in 5th grade, yeah.
Well, there you go. Mm-hmm. I was about to say it took you 8 years to finish high school. We do have a success story on our hands.
Right.
So, okay. And you were able to do a lot there because there's a lot of eclectic group of people, right?
Different talents. All different cultures. It's really cool. You know what I mean? It's just because it's a magnet. It's like people from all over the city. And then it was college prep. You know, the work really, I think, prepared you for college, the courses that you take. It was 4 years of math, science, social studies, English.
Yeah, the hard stuff.
Regents, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you play sports?
I did not. Well...
Or is that why you have a deep interest?
yes and no. So I did participate in track. Now, was I good at track? I was not good at track. I was horrible at track, okay? But I wanted to show on my college applications that I was well-rounded, you know, so I was a volleyball statistician. So I was involved with the volleyball team. I just wasn't playing volleyball.
Okay.
And then I participated in track as a long jumper, and I just was not very good. Because I just wasn't fast, so I didn't get a lot of speed off the board. But I did place third in two meets. That's my claim to fame, athletic claim to fame. And do you know why I remember that so vividly? If you know me, you've heard the story 50,000 times, and it's old. But if you don't know me, you might find this story interesting. So I'm going to go ahead for the people on the pod who don't know me. The reason I know that I finished third twice in my high school career in long jumping is because those were the two meets when there were only three jumpers. So I automatically placed. The first time it happened, I didn't realize what was going on. I didn't realize there was only two people jumping and I was going to place. But then the second time when it happened, when I saw it was only two jumpers, I was like, yes, I'm going to place today. So I knew right away what was going to happen, that I was going to place. And probably third, but I was going to place.
Well, you were on the podium.
Right. So, you know, so I had my varsity letters and my City Honors track jacket, and I got to put on there that I participated. So, but that was it. I was always better at watching sports than I was playing.
Well, that's fine. I mean, that's probably what makes you a good sports writer. I mean, there's a myth like a lot of guys, some guys in general think women don't know anything about sports, even women that participate in sports.
Yeah.
But they don't know, a lot of sports writers are not great, like, say a former writer like Jerry Sullivan, who's a very tiny man. I don't know. Did he play tennis? He didn't excel in sports, though. But
right.
He knew.
Yeah, right.
You don't have to excel in something. Like, great acting coaches are not
right.
Great actors.
Right.
You know what
I
mean? I
think that's a misconception that you had to play sports to really be able to write about sports. You know, and I even tell people looking to go into the business, you know, you might hear someone say, well, I really don't know sports that well. And I tell them that doesn't mean that you can't be a sports writer, because when it comes down to it, it's stories about people. You know, think of the sports stories you've read, right? You remember the sports story. You don't remember people writing about post patterns. You remember people writing about telling someone's story in sports. That's what resonates, right? That's what you remember.
Right. Well, I mean, that's what, if you're not doing a game recap, that's what
right.
Those stories are.
Mm-hmm.
Someone over, again, just, on the other, they're just using sports, but they're overcoming obstacles to achieve their dreams,
right.
Whatever those
right.
Obstacles may be.
Right, and so. If you don't know all the technical ins and outs of football, you can learn. There's places to learn. So it's definitely something, but you got to kind of have the background, I think, in journalism and be able to tell the story. If you can do that, you can be a sports writer if that's your desire.
Right, as long as you know how to write, which is all you really need to do. Or
absolutely.
Tell a fascinating story, which is what you wanted to do, right?
Right.
And you did that through college and then worked your way up to the news where you had the pleasure of being my boss for... I don't know. How long were you executive editor?
Well, I was executive editor for 7 years. But
for
I don't know.
Years?
Were you in sports in 2011? You might have still been on the city desk.
I don't. Actually,
I think you did.
No,
come
I was
over.
In sports for
yeah.
your hiring. Or
yeah.
Your executive editor. I wasn't there for the whole time you were just.
Yeah, that's right. Because I remember you did come over when Steve was there.
Yeah, because Margaret was still the great Margaret Sullivan.
Yes.
Post now, who's another trailblazer.
Yes.
Crushing the patriarchy. As best she can. She had to, oh no, she's at the Post now. She left the Times.
Yep, Washington Post.
But you know her. Do you talk to her still?
Are you guys friends? actually, I'm very friendly with Margaret Sullivan. You know, Margaret Sullivan, I owe so much to, and I'd say if you're going to rank the women who in this world who I owe something to, I think one would be my late mother would be number one, just everything she sacrificed. But, you know, and my sisters have been, like, great influences in my life and always supportive of me. But right after family, you'd have to put Margaret Sullivan, because Margaret Sullivan, there were three assistant sports editors when Steve took the buyout, and Margaret Sullivan promoted me, you know, whatever she saw in me, whatever she thought, you know, that she you know, kind of had a feeling, or she talked to people, or she saw something in me. And, you know, it's funny, she worked days, I worked nights, you know, our paths would cross from time to time, we'd talk a little bit, but she saw something in me where she thought out of the three, I'd be the best choice to lead the department, you know, and so everything in my career kind of took off from there with Margaret promoting me. So, I have so much respect for Margaret, and I owe her a great deal, and because she had that faith in me, I came in here every day in the Buffalo News and always tried to, you know, I would have done that anyway, tried to do the best job I can do, but I always wanted to go the extra bit or the extra mile and just to justify Margaret's faith in me.
She didn't do anything for me.
Well, listen, she promoted me, and I became your favorite boss. So, in a way, she did, right?
I guess. I mean, she didn't fire me, so...
That's something.
She allowed me to continue to come in here. No, I mean, I never really... I think her tenure was kind of short when I was here.
And she was an excellent role model, right? She was from the
Buffalo,
city, Webster, New York, you know what I mean? And she
moved
up,
right?
Right.
It doesn't get tougher than that.
My story is so unusual. You become sports out of your hometown paper. That just doesn't happen, right? That doesn't happen. So Margaret Sullivan became the editor of her hometown paper. So she kind of, you know, set that example for me.
And now she is... you know, writing for two of the bigger, she wrote for the New York Times.
Right.
Still prestigious here in the newspaper biz. And now she's at the Washington Post. I forget what her gig is. Is she just writing her
She's stories? A columnist, yeah, at the Washington Post, yeah.
Writing her ideas. So, and I'm sure she's good repping Buffalo all the time.
Always.
See little blurbs. I don't really read her. I don't read the Post. So I'm sure she's doing fine. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's doing fine.
She's definitely doing fine.
Well, let's talk about my two favorite moments.
Okay.
Well, besides, I mean, I did wish you a happy Bosses Day, and no one else did that.
You're the only person who's ever wished me a happy Bosses Day of all the wonderful employees I've had at many, many stops now. You know, you're the only one who's ever wished me a happy Bosses Day. And you even did last year, and I'm no longer your boss.
I know. I just text you.
Yeah, which is...
Sometimes I do. I think it's...
Which means a lot. So don't forget this Bosses Day to remember me as well.
And granted, I was a pretty almost model employee, but while I'm always here to do my job.
Yes.
Sometimes I'm a little late because of traffic, let's say.
talked about in this pod that really doesn't exist here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
that's your store and you're sticking to it.
Maybe I got a little excessive that day, whatever. I mean, you're a boss, so you had to say, hey, let's talk about this.
Yes.
Can you stop doing that, please?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I mean, you weren't even yelling. And I was like, okay, sure.
Yelling's not my style. I don't think anything's accomplished by yelling. Yeah.
This is an adult work. I mean, obviously, we're all adults. You can reason. You can't yell.
Right, right.
Although Dennis Danheiser, no longer works in the news, did yell at me one time because I was doing Padge and I wasn't ready on deadline because I forgot what happened. And I was like, hey, man, I don't play football. Don't yell at me.
Right.
Why are you yelling at me?
You know, listen, you know, sometimes you lose your cool, obviously, but I always...
I
try to talk to people the way I want people to talk to me.
Right.
And it's served me well.
No, it was a friendly conversation. It was just like, hey, man, just, you know, you're an adult, Jason. Just be on time, bro. Paraphrasing. You can call me bro.
Yep.
And then I was like, oh, okay, sure. And by the way, that being said, can I get a raise? And when do I say that? In the news, there's different levels of letters. I think I was in like different classes that they have it in class, and I just wanted to move up a class. So that was how I wanted you to move me up a class, which is in essence a raise. And I think you were stunned. You were just like, you know, I've never been asked for a raise when I'm telling someone that they should be on time for.
Yeah, exactly.
I think you were stunned.
Yeah,
were you stunned?
I was stunned, yeah. You know, it was ballsy. and I had to admit at the same time because I'm like, wow, I just told him he had to be on time. And he's like, okay, I'm going to try to get better at that. And can you move me up in the class that I really should be in? I think you told me I could help right or wrong or something like that is the way you put it.
Phrasing,
yeah.
So it was wrong.
I'll never forget that moment. And I was like, I should be pissed here, but I got to respect this move.
Well, you know, it was bold, but you and I think it's just we had that window.
And I think eventually you did get moved up to the right differential.
I don't think I did.
I did.
Fine.
I did bring it to someone's attention.
It's not. I mean, you don't have the power to do it.
Right.
It would be
someone's attention. Yeah.
They probably got lost in the shuffle. I get paid enough. It's fine.
And I do think you started to be on time a little bit more after that, too.
You know what? Yeah. The important thing is, you know what? I'm the Cal Ripken Jr., the sports department, because I've never called in sick. So.
Never?
I stand by that. Never.
Oh, awesome.
I'm always here.
Okay.
And I pretty much do my job.
Yeah.
Sometimes I am a few minutes late here.
Now listen, you know, we were pretty loose around here, right? Nobody punches a time clock. So, you know, 5 minutes, you can kind of look the other
way.
But you're kind of like a half hour. That's where you got to kind of be like, look, 5:30 when you're supposed to be here at 5. You got to say, come on, you got to be on time. Just because then everyone thinks they can come in at 5:30.
Right, you do have to, or yeah. Only one person can do
and
it.
And this is a newspaper. You are on deadlines. So you do right. Want to get started.
No,
yeah.
It probably did get a little excessive. And that's, mm-hmm. You know, it's like you do have to put your foot on somewhere. I have no problem with you mentioned.
Yes.
I can't get angry when someone says, come here on time, please.
Right. And for some strange reason, I can't get mad when someone says, okay, I'll try to do better. And by the way, can I have a raise?
I bet it's never happened
it was the
since,
same
right?
Conversation, right, yeah.
And I think the other time that you actually had to have a small chat with me was the Buffalo News. We got our, it was for some derby, some horse race, and we got our odds from a wire service who got their odds wrong. So somebody called. An older person who obviously still gets the paper,
yep.
And called me and said, well, thanks a lot. And I said, oh, okay, you're welcome. And he was like, what? And I was like, you just thanked me. And then I guess he didn't like that. And he complained again. He complained about his complaint to you. And you had
yes.
To say, I think you just said, you can't do that.
Right, you can. You can. You know, as much as you want to do that sometimes with people on the phone, you have to realize it. You know, it's a big deal to them that they had the wrong
okay.
Horse
point
racing
taken.
Entries results in the paper.
But listen, that's like coming at me with weak sarcasm like that. You can't. That's like coming at like the Gracies with some weak jiu-jitsu. You can't do that. Like I'm gonna just turn it around on you. First of all, there is a right. Like the news gets some things wrong, and there's a right way and a wrong way to complain. That's the wrong way, and he caught me on the wrong day. Don't just say look. I know he's an older person, and he wants to he wants to show his derision apparently. But don't say oh thank. Just say that's like two wrongs. Just say I betted on the wrong horse. I don't appreciate that. And then I would have been like I'm so sorry. We got the wrong odds. There's nothing you can do. Don't come at me with like thanks a lot. What is it like? Is that the way to complain about something?
It's not. But you know, it's.
I know. I can't help.
But
myself.
We do have to. There's a certain
level
of customer service we have to have when we're talking
I
to people on the phone with our customers. You know, and listen. There's times they take you there, and there's a lot of things you want to say, but you really can't. You know, you got especially when we were the wrong information. You get why they're pissed at us.
I understand.
You know, if they come with name calling and things like that, then maybe you can. You know.
Oh well, yeah, for certainly. Actually, I would find that more humorous. I'm
right.
Just saying. I thought it was a teachable moment. Maybe I taught that guy something. I was still nice. Hey, I'm a professional joke teller. Don't come at me with some weak ass.
Well, he didn't realize that he got the comedian.
Because you're not gonna get satisfaction from me when you do that, though. Especially when it's like that. At least make it funny. Because we do get a lot. Here's the thing that people are so stupid, and I don't want to say it's just in Buffalo because there's stupid people across the country. But you know, when we get emails and people think they're super clever because it's like, oh, do you know that you misspelled blah 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 in
yes.
The email sentiment?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, look, idiot. You produce a paper in 8 hours a day and see how many goddamn mistakes you make.
Yeah. People think it's supposed to be perfect.
Do you feel good about yourself?
And it is, really. I mean, I guess you can have the expectation that you don't have misspellings in a paper, but, you know, it's human error, and if you work for a paper, you especially realize how these kind of things can happen.
Jay Leno made a whole stand about it.
Right.
Well, those are poor headlines, but I feel
right.
Like they're not copy-edited correctly.
Right,
and you can
right.
Respect that as a former copy.
Right, and now with copy desks dwindling across the country, it's only going to get worse. Yeah,
well, right. I mean, we used to have a bulletin when we had like actually three people reading copy. That's mm-hmm. No longer the case for people on the inside of the news.
Right.
But we had a bulletin board for when people had a little oopsie. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the best one was.
And you do it? Appreciate commenters or callers who say, hey, you know, I just wanted to point this out, you know. You had the spell. If someone's just kind of pointing out an error, but people are smart about it and say, you know, hey, you know, oh, I didn't realize that this was spelled this way or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's not the way to do it.
It's not. You have to deal with it. But you do appreciate the people who kind of understand that, you know, even though it's a newspaper, there is human error. And I think if you've read a paper long enough, you kind of get it that kind of thing happens.
Just like, I don't know, can we mention this incident? I don't want to mention it. We'll talk about it off air.
What's the worst mistake you've ever made in the
that
paper?
That I've made?
Was it worse than those wrong entries?
Oh, yeah, sometimes wrong. Like, that's the worst I've ever done. No, yeah, I've never let, my pages are great. I mean, I've never let a or, you know, like one time I think what, like we, when we do an article just for the space, if people know, like we put in just, it looks like Latin, I don't even know what it is, it's just space filler, and I think one time for first edition we left it in there, so people wrote emails like, is this Latin? What is this? Is
that, right, no? Yeah, so it's got, yeah, that happened to me on layout a couple times, the placeholder text getting
in. Yeah, or a bad, like, insert headline, well, it's probably happened across the country, but yeah, people have seen it, but hey, just enjoy it, act like that paper is a collector's edition.
Right, you know, one of my most memorable mistakes, not that you asked me, but since we got on the subject, you know, I think one of my, and it's not even a mistake per se, it's just something I wish I'd have realized, is you got to kind of be careful when you're writing headlines, because sometimes you write a headline, you don't even realize that it could be taken a different way.
Right.
I remember when the Bills were bringing in a receiver, he was with the Cardinals, his name was Bryant Johnson, he was tall receiver, so the Bills were trying to get taller at wide receiver, right?
Right.
So they bring him in, so I write this headline, Bills size up Johnson. Right, so I'm not thinking of what I did. You know, I'm thinking Johnson. It's Brian Johnson. I'm not thinking that there's another meaning for Johnson.
Also, right. You got to remember we have a certain size that you got to make a headline fit.
Right. You know, I didn't think about the other meaning of Johnson. And then if you're sizing that up, you know, and it didn't get me until, like, I think John Vogel, who used to work here with the Sabres writer, sent like a email to the sports email, and it was like, you got to love the Bills sizing up the Johnson, you know. I don't even think the Sabres have one or something like that. And I was like, oh my gosh. And I realized, I was like, I wrote that headline and I didn't even realize what the hell I wrote until it got pointed out to me. So that's one of my moments. I wish I could have back and rewrite that headline.
Yeah, but I feel like that's humorous. We can all have a laugh about that. I mean, it's still like a...
Yeah, like when Bartolo Colon was playing, a very dangerous time to write headlines because of the... Cologne, you know, yeah, you got to be careful with that kind of thing.
He's still playing. That guy will never quit. He's like 45, and he's overweight, and he's still continuing to pitch. Yeah, you can't. I think WGR used to read some of the, I think they took some of the more questionable headlines and read them, and they, you know, people do take delight when you do things wrong. But I'm just saying, people, in general, there's a right way to complain about something and a wrong way. That's
right.
Like, I would never do, like, if I have a complaint about something, I would never start out with a stupid complaint. Even say I would a compliment, you know what I mean?
Right.
Or wasn't there, there was a time where there was a, you know, someone, or someone doesn't like even a caption, you know, like when we, when someone wrote an innocent caption, like so-and-so was moved past so-and-so with the ball, and they're like, and then someone's like, oh, my daughter did not get, she didn't lose that, you know, she was defending well. That's not the caption, right? It's like, oh, take it easy, guy.
Right.
Let's all take a step back.
Yes.
But so, okay, then you made the decision to leave, and you were like, because you just decided you wanted to spread your wings? Or you're just like, then...
It was another, like, betting on myself. It's funny, you know, I really liked my job here. You know, I've been here for 18 and a half years, and
that's,
I think
a long
we
time
had
a
great,
a
you know, we had a great department, and, you know, I was, you know, it was... I wouldn't say easy, but I was kind of, you know, I was used to it and comfortable here. I think I was in my comfort zone, right? But then the undefeated comes along, and, you know, that's ESPN's website that deals with the intersection of sports, race, and culture. So I found myself reading it when it launched every day, and I really loved the stories and looking at sports through that lens. So when I saw that they had an opening for a sports editor, something just compelled me to apply. And I think, and I hadn't applied for a job in years, right? I didn't even have a resume. I mean, it'd been that long. I'd been at the news since 98, and I wasn't looking while I was here. So, you know, I had to update my resume, you know, and get something together. But I think because I like this job, I kind of felt like I'm going to apply for the hell of it, you know, and if I don't get it, who cares? I got a job I like, right? It's not like I really was desperate to get out of here or anything, so I don't think I felt any pressure when I was applying for this job. So I applied for it, and sure enough, they called me in for an interview, and I ended up getting the job, you know, and so I said, but I was going to have to leave Buffalo and leave the comfort of this job I'd been in and people I worked with for so many years, you know, but I said, okay, I think it's time to kind of see what else I can do in this business. So I had to come out of my comfort zone to do that, and I'm so glad I did because, you know, it was a great experience. You know, I wouldn't trade that for anything, even though I was there just under 2 years. You know, The Athletic came along with an opportunity for NFL editor, which, you know, look, so I'm here at the Buffalo News. It's regional coverage, and it's awesome. The Undefeated, it's a totally different way of looking at sports. It's national, but it's looking at everything kind of through the race culture lens, which is awesome, and I'm always interested in that kind of thing. But then this was a chance at The Athletic to run national coverage, you know, something I hadn't done, but I thought was, at this point in my career, it was something, you know, I'd worked my way up, and I think it was something that I wanted to try, and also I could come back home to do it, so I just had to kind of make that move, bet on myself again, and it's still, betting on myself is still working out pretty well for me.
I think you can't go wrong when you do.
Right.
Well, so what's some of your favorite, and the undefeated, that's still go. I mean, that's still a thing, right?
It is still a thing, yes.
Well, I know ESPN had a little shakeup there. Yeah. I mean, sports, and they've had some loss in radio on their TV show, so I don't know. And well, Disney bought them, though, right? Isn't it who owns
ESPN? Disney. Oh, Disney's owned ESPN for a while, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, I don't know what their money. I haven't actually watched ESPN in a long, long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the undefeated's still there, yeah.
What's some of your favorite, do you have a favorite story that you did?
You know what my favorite thing we did? We did a whole, it was leading up to the 30th anniversary of Doug Williams being the first black quarterback to win the Super Bowl. So we did profiles of 30 black quarterbacks leading up to that Super Bowl of that year, which would be 2018, leading up to that, because he won it in 88, so it was leading right up to 30 years. So I really enjoyed that series. You know, it was kind of my idea. We put it together, and we just, you know, we talked to a lot of the black quarterbacks who came along. It was really awesome. You know, we kind of started, you know, we did Fritz Pollard. You know, it was not living, but we started all the way back then and worked our way up to Doug Williams, and we did oral history of the Super Bowl. So that was my personal favorite. And, you know, I liked a lot of the stories we did, but I really enjoyed that series on black quarterbacks.
Nice. I haven't, I think I did when you were there. I think I meant to read it. You need a, do you need a subscription, or can you just read
You do to The Athletic, but not to The Undefeated. Yeah.
Oh, The Undefeated is free.
Yes.
So you can, is all your old, did you, well, you just kind of manage the staff.
Though, yeah, right? Yeah, but so many of the stories we did are still on there, so right. You could always, you know, go on the website and search for that.
And then you did actively look, or did you get the, how did you get The Athletic, though? You knew, like, you saw that there was opening, so you applied for The Athletic as well.
Well, The Athletic, I kind of got referred to The Athletic from, you know, obviously The Athletic Buffalo launched, you know, and so it was some of the guys who worked with me here at the news, and they kind of floated my name to one of mm-hmm. the editors who just so happened to be at APSC, Associated Press Sports Editors Group, that I'm second vice president of. At the time, I was, now I'm first vice president. But it was last year's conference in Nashville, and they did a whole panel on The Athletic model, you know, is the subscription model, you know, is it sustainable, is it going to work? So Paul Fichtenbaum, their chief content editor, was there, and he kind of talked to me a little bit, and we got the conversation going, and, you know, I ended up getting offered the job of NFL editor. And, you know, it was tough because, again, here I have a job I like, right? But right. I just wanted to take a chance on this new experience, and moving back home was a lot of the motivation, too.
Right. The open roads and the good pizza of Buffalo is right. really hard to turn away, especially as...
And it's not just, and family, and, you know, and I have a 12-year-old daughter, and so she's back with her friends, and her social life just right. kicks my social life's butt. You know, she's got, like, a whole lot of slumber parties and things that she's doing, and she's happy, so, yeah, life's good for us.
She's going to go to Seahawks? She's a legacy.
She's actually in the Amherst School District, so I think she wants to stick with that, which is also a really good school district, so I have no problems with that.
So you feel, obviously, you are invested. You feel the online way is the way to go now with it? Because The Athletic is just, you get a monthly subscription, and then there's articles every day covering.
Oh, yeah.
Because mm-hmm. this is a national thing, right? A national website, and then they have just
right,
like,
but that covers, you know, it covers all four major sports. It's branched off into the UK. Now it's covering Premier League, which, you know, you run those standings. You still run those standings?
I do.
As Nick Veronica's legacy to the Buffalo News, who yes. wanted to run the Premier League standings.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, those standings are still good. Nick's.
Yeah, and a subscription to The Athletic. Okay, maybe you are a Bills fan and you want to subscribe for the Bills coverage, which you get, but also, you know, say you're a Texas Rangers fan. You know, all the teams are covered. You know, say you like the Lakers. You know what I mean? You can read whatever you want on the Lakers as well. Right. So
wherever there's a sports team, there's an Athletic, though.
Pretty much.
So,
yep.
And you're running the Buffalo branch.
No, so I actually, so I run the NFL
for
vertical for the Athletic.
Which is, you mean all the, covering all the teams or just the Bills?
So, well, yeah, so I'm the national editor of the NFL. What that means is I'm over the national writers of the Athletic who are in the NFL, and then I kind of have a dotted line to all the local writers. So I'm not over Buffalo, per se. There's an editor who runs Buffalo,
right.
but the NFL coverage runs through me. So, right, like, yeah, so, I, you know, basically I coordinate the Athletic's NFL coverage, and then we do a lot of, because we have 30, we have beat writers of all 32 teams, we have a lot of like projects where we'll get together. You know, last year was our power rankings. All the beat writers were voting for our power rankings. After the draft, we did a wrap-up of all the teams. So every beat writer sent in something, you know, the best pick, you know, biggest surprise, potential sleeper, and that all went into a file. So, like, if we're doing, like, something nationally that's including all the local writers, then that kind of starts with the national vertical.
Interesting. Right. So, I mean, for people who can't get enough NFL news, because
right.
NFL is 24/7 now.
It is.
No more off-season because it's
not
become such a big business.
Right, yep.
We cover, I mean, they have the NFL Network. And
if there's any such thing as a slow period, it might be right after minicamp, you know, like around 4th
yeah,
of July,
like
the
weeks.
Week after. But really, that's it. And then
yeah.
It's, you know, whoever's in the Hall of Fame game is going to training camp that week after the 4th of July.
It has become a little silly to me as a, I mean, yeah, I mean, I do enjoy sports, obviously, but it's just, like, a little much. I mean, with the mock drafts of who the Bills are going to take and blah, blah, blah. But I feel like the athletes should probably just eliminate the middleman. I don't know how you feel about this, because you know, but it's like all these billionaires. I don't care for billionaires in general, because most billionaires still made their money the wrong way. I don't care. No one made $1 billion, because it's just hard to do. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like, even our friend Mr. Pegula, who was very generous in buying the Sabres and the Bills, made his money off of digging wells and causing possibly, I don't know what that causes, your water starts on fire. No offense to
your water starts on fire.
Causes, I don't know. Well, there's earthquakes in Oklahoma now. Did Oklahoma ever have earthquakes before they started fracking there? Mm-hmm. No. I'll leave that to the imagination,
right.
Because I'm not going to go on some weird,
right.
some tangent. And I don't know, like, I don't know how you might be friends with Kim. But he did. That's how he got his $1 billion. And who knows how Schneider got his $1 billion. All the owners suck. All Bill Gates just crushed. Let's even go to Bill Gates. How did he make $1 million with Microsoft? By crushing the competition. Ask any little developer who tried to have some sort of program made. Bill Gates crushed them. So, mm-hmm. I mean, count me wrong. If someone knows a billionaire who made their money 100% honest, get back to me, let me know, and I will include that name on the list. But my point is, here's what football players need to do. Because, you know, there's a controversy about the kneeling, and I feel like, hey, you want to kneel. Why is that even it? Whatever. I'm not going to get into that either. Make your statement, guy. But, I mean, you want to complain about it. Like, you have all the power. It's like, you know what I mean? Like, the worker has all the power. Like, as a comedian, I don't even need comedy clubs anymore. I don't care if someone doesn't want to book me. You don't think I'm funny? Fine. I can go to a bar. I have YouTube. I have lots of avenues.
Yeah.
So why let these 30, whatever, billionaires dictate the terms? And they always say they're losing money, right? But no billionaire is dumb enough to lose money. They want taxpayers to pay for all their little stadiums and everything. They never want to use that money because they whatever, and they want to sell suites. So NFL players should just form their own league. They could rent out league. There's plenty of stadiums, college stadiums, rent out the league. You take the power. You have all the power. Without the football players, how are you going to have games? You know, I mean, granted, you're not going to be, you know why? I mean, you're not going to be a multimillionaire maybe at first, but did you not love the game? Are you not doing it for the love of the game?
Right.
You can have all the power. Form your own league. Everyone to come out of the draft, guys, you join this league. Screw whoever's owning the team. Why make them richer when they give you, I mean, who knows how much he's making off the Bills?
That's an interesting idea.
I don't think those books are open, because they say, like, sometimes they lose money, and the Bills are not a great friend as far as winning in the last 20 years. So they're ranked still probably 32nd in the most valuable franchises. It's still $1 billion though. Mm-hmm. He's making money. They're making money. So just cut those people out. I'll still come to the game. You guys get together, form your own team, like the Buffalo Bills, call it something different, rent out UB Stadium, sell tickets for $20, and sell your own merchandise, like make your own deals with the merchandise. Why let other people do that?
Then you don't have your TV contract. Right?
Negotiate your own TV contract. You don't think TV's going to come watching? Where else, who are going to broadcast it then? You deal with CBS yourself. It's like, I hate middlemen that have no talent here in America. That's sort of the problem. Like an agent. Like, I can spend 20 minutes writing a joke, but no one, or like write a script, but nobody will talk to me until I get an agent. And what does the agent do? What is his talent? Picking up the phone and saying, looking at this script. Why can't I do that? And then if I make money, I have to give him 20%? What kind of concept is that?
Commissioner Jason Pamielasz.
I mean, I do. If you can complain about something, and you know, there's a lot of problems, obviously, in the NFL, and they don't give a, they don't care about people. You know, concussions. I mean, I know they're trying to make kickoffs safer, but do they care? These NFL players are walking around with CTE. It's not good for you. It's just, I'm tired of whining. I don't want athletes. I hate athletes that whine.
You hate athletes who whine.
Do you find athletes are whiny, or can you not? You don't want to talk about since you're the head of the NFL. Do you have no comment on all of this?
I'm just
Lisa Wilson.
And by whine, like, what do you mean by whine?
Just couple, like, act foolish. Think you're entitled because you're an athlete, and then think you can do anything you want. Because I mean, some of these people were cradled because of. I mean, we do prize someone that can run really fast, or I mean, you know what I mean. I just think too much money is invested in athletics, especially at the collegiate level. They should make some money. They're making so much money for the college,
right.
Getting paid nothing,
they should be paid,
and then
yeah.
They have a chance to get hurt, and then they're, you know, that's like saying when someone wants someone in the arts to do well, I can't pay you anything but for exposure. Well, no, you're making money off of me. Give me some of that money.
Right, yeah,
and
it's, I
that's
agree with
not
that.
Socialism. That's called passing the salt. Do you ever watch The Sopranos?
And you know, The Sopranos is one of those shows I never
You've
caught
never
from
the... You never watched The Sopranos?
I have to admit, I haven't. It's one of those shows I never caught from the beginning, and I haven't binge-watched yet.
You should.
So.
Well, no, because... Well, I mean, for people who are listening, they're, like, obviously Tony Soprano was in charge, like, somewhat in charge of the family, but he had uncle. There was Uncle June, and June was kind of in charge of the family, but no one liked Uncle June because there's a mob saying... that goes, he doesn't pass the salt, which means when they get all the money from their various enterprises, he doesn't kick enough downstairs. And Uncle June didn't make it long in the mob. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
And same thing with the people at the top. And I don't know why do we, don't you think, though, as a society, we look up to, like, some people, we have this weird aversion to, like, oh, like, billionaires must be great because they made a lot of money. But that's not the case.
You know, yeah, I don't know them personally,
I mean,
so that's really tough
for
me to say. Yeah.
Being successful, I know he worked very hard, and I mean, actually, I don't want to rule him out because he did whatever he's doing there, but I'm saying in general, you know, or someone like, how could you even respect someone that didn't make any money and inherited all their money from their father and just kind of worked their way from there? Why would you even look up to that, though? People should look up to you. You're a role model.
Well, I appreciate you saying that.
I'm sorry. I think we took a weird left turn.
Yeah.
I do appreciate you coming. Let's see, what time is it? I don't know. I do. Oh, it is 5:12. So actually, we have a hard out because I have to get to work. I'm actually 12 minutes late.
Well, why don't you go down there and ask for a raise while you're at it?
Well, you know what? My current boss is not here. I don't know if he listens to the podcast, but thanks for coming out.
Thanks for having me.
Everyone, you can just, if you do want. I don't know if I can, you know, I do work at the news. Can I rep the athletic?
You can rep the athletic, or yeah, I can rep the athletic.
I think lots of people in the news, people in the know at Buffalo actually know a lot of, several former Buffalo News reporters actually do the coverage for the athletic.
Yes.
And it's there's room for everyone, though. There's different perspectives, right?
I mean, yeah. I think you can read the Buffalo News and read the athletic.
Yeah, you'll still get different points of view.
Exactly, yeah. You know, there's great Bills coverage at the Athletic, and, you know, the Buffalo News, Vic and Jay, they've been at it a long time. You know, I work with them. I have a lot of respect for them. So, yeah, I think you can read both.
Oh, for sure. And
yeah.
I think
just because you work at the news doesn't mean you can't, you know, promote the Athletic.
I know. Well, how much is it?
But I certainly can.
Well, how much is it per month?
Well, we have promos going on all the time. All the time. So, you
so
know.
Just go to athletic.com.
Theathletic.com.
The Athletic.
Yeah, it's rare that we don't have some kind of promotion. You know, there's always a 7-day free trial, so I would recommend that, you know. Try us out for 7 days. I think you'll like us. And then normally within the course of that 7 days, there's some kind of promo going on where you can get like 40% off a subscription for a year.
Hmm. Well, that sounds more than fair.
It's definitely more
than fair.
I don't
even know what a digital subscription to the news cause, to be honest with you, but
one of the perks of working at the news, you know, you can read everything while you're here.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
And you know, sports does drive the news. I mean, you know, people a lot of times do go to the sports section first of all, because usually it's
less smart people, right? Go to the sports section first.
Well, here in Buffalo, how do you feel about this? Before we leave,
okay.
Well, I mean, you're born in Buffalo, so you know that we do have a long suffering. I mean, we love our sports teams, but they're not great. Despite, you know, new ownership and a lot of money, we're still having some problems.
Yeah.
What do you think? But what about this series? Do you think we should continue to support the home team, right? Or no?
Absolutely.
mean, you're from Buffalo, right? Can you just
yeah,
go to the
I mean,
game
and everything,
and
you know, and everything goes, I think, in cycles, you know. I mean, the Bills have had some down years. It looks like they're, you know, got some talent and had it on the way back up. So, yeah, I think you always should support the local teams. You know, now, and it's tough, you know, when you get in journalism, you kind of, you lose your you know, your right to be a fan or, you know.
Well, you can't cheer in the press box.
Yeah, right, exactly. So you have that mentality, so, you know. But, I mean, why wouldn't you support the local team?
Well, people say, I don't subscribe to this theory, but they're like, well, you know, if someone really keeps putting out bad movies, an actor that you like, you don't see those movies anymore. So yet they keep putting a bad product on the field, and you keep giving them their money with your tickets. So then it's like, well, why would you continue to do that? But it's like, well, you should just be going for the enjoyment of the game, really. I mean...
Right, the enjoyment of the game, you know, time spent with friends, family.
You can't win it all. I mean, granted, it seems like other cities have, even Cleveland's won a championship now in basketball. And that seems, I do feel somehow almost that Buffalo is somewhat cursed after four Super Bowls. Especially that first one.
I just don't believe in the curse. Curses. I just don't believe in that.
Well,
yeah.
Actually, you know what I do believe
in? Yeah.
Bad coaching and a bad field goal kicker. No, and no offense to Marv, but don't you think if you got to four Super Bowls, you could win at least one?
I mean, those teams, they weren't going to beat those Dallas teams back then.
Their best shot was that Giants.
No, they weren't going to beat those Dallas teams, so, you know. And Washington either. They weren't, you know. That Giants Super Bowl, hey, listen, you know.
The kick
stays a little couple inches, you know, and doesn't go wide right, then you just never know. Yeah, but, I think take the Dallas ones out of there. I don't think there's any chance.
Defense was just too fast.
You know, there's no way they were going to beat Dallas.
Unless they came up with a really, really good scheme. But
yeah, that wasn't going to happen.
Well, we have civic pride here, and I feel like I do feel like one day the Sabres did really get robbed. That was not a goal.
Oh, right? Foot in the crease.
Yes, that's clear. It's not a goal. I mean, I don't want to sound like sour grapes, but it's like Dallas did it to us again, and the refs just didn't want to do it. I mean, that was an epic series, but it's so close to a Stanley Cup championship.
That was game 6, if I remember correctly.
Was it game 6? Well, either way, wasn't a goal, though.
Right, still won another game.
I mean, but there's, Buffalo has, it is fun. I mean, now we have this horrible tailgating thing going where you must break tables in the...
Now that's silly.
it's still a few people. It's not like everyone.
Yeah,
jumping
into tables on fire, that's a little much. But but to answer your question, why not support the home team?
Exactly. Especially when they dump the...
Because just imagine if the Bills had left, you know, and people would be missing football. So just even if you have a team that's not winning Super Bowl, you know, or not even going to the playoffs, and they did a couple years ago, and could be turning it around here, you know.
Could you imagine Buffalo without the Buffalo Bills?
I couldn't.
Because, you know, speaking of the Premier League, the Euros actually got one thing right, because, you know, their worst team in soccer, the very bottom, the team that finishes last, gets disbanded, because they're like, you're doing something wrong, and then it goes to a different city. So that would have happened to the Bills several times over. We would have, like, 20
Can you
years,
imagine?
15 yeah. years ago, it would have been disbanded, and it would be in, I don't know, another city, maybe Vegas by then. So, and then, I don't know, what would have we done with the stadium? Would we become a learned town? What would we have done on Sundays? We'd have nothing to write about.
Good question. You know, go to Bisons, you know, in the summer.
We do have the Bisons. Yeah. Oh. Okay. We should leave because I should get to work and other people are coming into my studio.
Okay, yes.
But again, thanks for coming out. And if you guys want a different perspective, anybody can subscribe to The Athletic or look up Undefeated articles. That seems very interesting.
Yeah, I would suggest both.
Because obviously people... You know, certain people think that politics should stay out of sports, but unfortunately we've gotten to a point in our society where it has reached everything, and because things need to be done.
You know, and people want to call racial inequality politics, and is that really politics? But that could be a whole other podcast, so you do have to get down to work and ask for your raise.
Sorry.
So I'm going to have to let you go here, yeah.
Sorry, guys. Yeah, equal playing field isn't something crazy.
Yeah. Listen, but politics obviously is involved in all that with what's going on.
Well,
like, let me not go down that road. But.
You know, white people, they just don't want to hear the truth sometimes. It's one of our flaws. We just want to open the sports page and read about the Bills.
And stick to sports, yeah.
But it can't be done, is my point. But yeah,
right, not today. It's just, that's almost impossible to do.
But thanks for coming. And you
thanks
are,
for having me
you
on.
You will probably remain my favorite boss, because after this, hopefully I won't have too many more bosses. No offense to my current boss. Only I just don't plan on having a job.
I have no problem with that, remaining your favorite boss.
And this was fun. I will, I'm sure that my listeners from Brussels will enjoy it.
I hope so. I hope to be on again in a future podcast as well.
Yeah, for sure. We can have part two. Maybe. Oh, I feel like the Bills are gonna we're gonna have some success sports wise, and then we can come on and we can talk more about that. We can talk
about that. And I'll say, look, I told you, to support the home team.
Or also, I'd like to before I went on my billionaire hating rant. I hate billionaires. I like to talk journalism and the newspaper business.
I couldn't
really
say too much about that because I really don't know any billionaires personally.
Well,
so,
I know, but the newspaper business has changed, because you actually had experience, you've been in the newspaper 20 years, so you've seen
kind of
like even before social media and now, and that's always interesting. Yep. So we'll talk about that next time. We'll consider this part one.
All right, sounds good.
Now don't talk about the people you hate yet, because you saw me struggle to turn this on.
Yep.
Same way going out. Oops, not off yet. There we go.